talk is, what happened in Chicago? Okay? And it's not one of those things where what happens in Chicago stays in Chicago. To be honest, what happens in Chicago needs to go into the world. There is no doubt. This is not something that happens in isolation. And I'm going to tell you about the Parliament of World Religions. So put your seatbelt on, because it's been quite the journey for the last week. I still think I'm in somewhat of recovery. And for the first time ever, when you sang the song, we sang the song Imagine, I teared up. I don't tear up with that song, even though it's actually my ringtone on my phone. But I teared up. Because the effect of being able to see 10,000 people from 200 countries, 80 different spiritual or organized ways of being in the world, there's nothing like that experience. And so imagining the world as one place and one people. And it said, imagine there's no countries and no religions too. I actually don't agree with that now. We need, and I'll explain why, because we do need the differences. That's what makes us, there's still a core of oneness, but the flavors of who we are in different nations or spiritual traditions is flavorful, and it's to celebrate and to honor the differences. Instead of going, it's just this way or the one way, or you know what I'm saying? So that song, How Will I Know? I spoke about this last week because I could go into overwhelm really easily with 850 things that I could do in a week at the Parliament of World Religions. This is 300 pages of what to choose from, okay? 300 pages. I'm not kidding. That's why I did the talk last week. It was for me. It was about trust. Trusting that the universe, the divine within, is guiding and directing me. I basically have three things in the world that Spirit told me that it's gotten simpler. It used to be pay attention, trust, and say thank you. That's the PATTY acronym. P-A, pay attention. T, trust. T-Y, say thank you. And then Spirit also said to me, but I'm a little bit Irish. So you be Patty. You be open, pay attention, trust, say thank you. Spirit's changed it up just a teeny bit. It's made it like three things. It's called pay attention, listen to the still small voice, and follow direction. Okay, that has become my new marching orders, so to speak, from the divine. So again, there was 10,000 people at the McCormick Center Lakeside in Chicago. I haven't ever been in Chicago except maybe to change planes. So it was 10,000 people. And before I get into the Parliament of World Religions, a couple neat things is it was on Lakeside, so part of that McCormick Center was on the lake. So I had a vision and got to see Lake Michigan on a daily with the boats coming in and out. Another thing that was fun to have was my wife, who passed in December, was supposed to attend this with me. We had both had our churches pay for our registration a year ago. And I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? And so I posted on Facebook in the Unity and Centers for Spiritual Living pages and said, my wife has passed and I would like to have another roommate, especially since we didn't want Unity of Santa Fe to absorb the entire cost of a, you know, pricey hotel room. So I posted it a couple different times and finally I got an answer. Anybody know of the person named Eliza Bloom Robinson? Hands up. For those who don't know, Reverend Eliza Bloom Robinson was the interim minister here. She's the one who assisted with the transition for the congregational consciousness of being able to release Reverend Brenda Lynn Batchelor and also to prepare the ground for me to come in. So she was my roommate. So how cool was that? I mean, it was just like, we can't stay away from each other, and I don't want to. It was really cool because we'd go off into our days. At the end, we'd come together at 10 o'clock and room, and before going to sleep, talk about some of the highlights. So it was somebody to share with, which was really touching and cool. The only other thing that was outside of the parliament was my brother, who had lived in Chicago, had said, "You're in Chicago, you have to go to on the agricultural river lake tour." I said, "Okay, that's my spirit told me by means of my brother that I needed to go. Okay, pay attention, listen, and follow direction." So yes, I looked. There was one day we'd have sunshine, more sunshine. That was Wednesday. I checked the different things on Google. I said, all right, 1 o'clock. I'm paying the $42 and going on this tour. It was lovely to get out of the building, to be on the boat. I didn't know there was a lock that you had to go through because the river is lower than the lake. Who knew? The river actually flows in reverse. Lots of cool things to learn. But it was very fun, and Eliza actually went with me. So that was cool. So these are the outside of the parliament. I did put into the newsletter this week something about the parliament. I'm going to share with you a couple things just from the 300-page book, which you are welcome to look at after the service to see what kind of fun I had this last week. The Parliament of World Religions is the world's largest, most diverse, and inclusive interfaith convening of people of faith, spirituality, and goodwill. Its roots are in the 1893 World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, where the historic first convening of the World Parliament of Religions created a global platform for engagement of the world's religions and was thereafter recognized as the birthplace of the modern interfaith movement. Now, I really didn't have any knowledge to what the parliament was. In fact, because I got this book and I had to choose a million different things to see which ones I was supposed to actually go to, I didn't even read some of this before. I read this yesterday. I was like, oh, something to share with you. The approach, now this is, I think, is important. The Parliament of World Religions seeks to promote inter-religious harmony rather than unity. Listen to this. The problem with seeking unity among religions is the risk of loss of the unique and precious character of each individualized religious and spiritual tradition. This understanding is key to our framework. That is why I said there's no religions too, no countries. I'm like, that's what that speaks to. I was like, yes, to honor. You know, back in the day when I said, out of ignorance, all people matter. I don't see color. Ooh, I did not realize what those words actually meant until I studied what white privilege was, and that I want to celebrate color. I want to see people of color. I want to see people of differences. I don't want us to all be the same. We're each a unique, individualized expression of the divine, and that makes it so cool. Goes on and says, interreligious harmony, on the other hand, is an attainable and highly desirable goal. Such an approach respects and is enriched by the particularities of each tradition. Moreover, within each tradition are the resources, philosophical, theological, and spiritual teachings and perspectives that enable each to enter into a respective, appreciative, and cooperative relationships with persons and communities of other traditions. I'm like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. When I arrived there, we went, there was some challenges. It was a test of our sense of humor. When you have things like computers that are down and they're trying to register people. And then you go to find a room and you can't find the room, or you go to the room and you find it and you find out it's been changed or eliminated, or it's at a different time or a different place. It was like, that's just a little bit of the interesting things that occurred. Kept a sense of humor most of the time. The one that, it's interesting because it's like you get a little tired of things not being the way that they, you would think that they would be, but they're not. So going through this, it was almost ridiculous to me. I'd go, all right, so, and actually one of the most touching things was at the very beginning on Monday the 14th. They had a room set up for a kajillion people. They had the main stage. And they had a procession of different traditions in costume. I took a bunch of videos at times, and if you're on my Facebook page, you'll get to see portions and parts. And it was just, I teared up again. I've not been in a place, you know, I went to Chicago, but here's the truth. I went around the world. I was in Japan, I was in India, I was in Taiwan, I was in Lebanon, I was in Israel, I was in Brazil, I went all over the world, because all over the world was here in this Chicago experience. So then it was called, here, pick your sessions. So I'm just going to open this up and you'll have fun looking at this if you choose to. There is things about repentance and repair, the Sikh interfaith Q&A, women as spiritual warriors, what's love got to do with it? Oh, they had two labyrinths, the intersection of faith practices, threats to pluralism and religious liberty. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And on. I was like, I'd go, how many pages are there from just the 8 to 10:30 sessions? Oh, about 50 pages. That's what it felt like. Or maybe 50 things that were there. I was like, okay, I'm trusting God. She knows where she wants me to be. So I would go to these. And my experience was, a lot of them were, they had the plenaries, which were the big on stage, and they would have different people come up and speak. But many of these sessions were interfaith sessions, where they would have people from 4 to 6 on a panel, and they would talk about a topic. Now, the topics ranged all over the place. Big, though, and rightly so, climate change. We have a world that's actually, we are in crisis. We are in trauma and crisis. We have gun violence and hate. We have people that are abused. There was a young gal, when they asked her, she was from Lebanon, what's the definition of your definition of peace? She said, I have two definitions. One of them is the PC, and the other one you shouldn't probably record. Because she went on and on and on about peace is when you can go outside of your house. Peace is when you can actually go to school. There was so many things. I wish I had just, but there's so much. There was so much to take in. My favorite, hands down, the favorite one. Because one of the things I realized, I'd pick 5 different things that I felt called to go to. And I'd find the room, and I'd be there, and I'd be sitting. And a lot of it was very informational. Now, information is great and grand, but if you already know what you know and you're not getting anything more, then what's the purpose of my staying in this seat listening to something? Because I basically wanted 2 things. I wanted to hear something that I didn't know. I wanted to get something that I didn't already know. I'm already vegan. I'm already on it about climate change. I'm already on the anti-racist allies. I have been, spirits like, yeah, you. So a lot of these, I was like, I don't need to go and hear that because I'm already in that, unless it was something else. So anyway, A lot of it was very informational, and I wanted also the connection, not just to learn something I didn't already know, but I wanted the heart connection. And a lot of it felt like it was information coming at me. And so I would get up after so long, and Spirit would go, get up, go see the other thing that you thought you might want to go to. The one I loved the most, I think I put a thing in here about the page. It's called Saving the Baby from the Patriarchal Bathwater. Young Women's Wisdom on Rebalancing Faith and Spirit. Starts off with, how do we understand the global shift of young people away from organized religion and generate authentic, meaningful engagement with the next generation? Hear from a group of diverse millennial and Gen Z young women about their spiritual beliefs, experiences with religion, and unique insights about the future. They represented Christian, Buddhist, pagan, and unaffiliated. How they did this, came into a room. We were in a big circle. The room was lit nicely, because sometimes the glaring lights. And seven young women in their 20s sat on the floor with a candle in the middle. They had a piece of red ball of string that they would pass. It was like the talking stick. They had two questions that they were answering, and they were talking to each other. They weren't talking to us. We were observing. And the first question was, how has colonization and patriarchy affected your spirituality? Each girl took that and spoke from her heart to the other girls in the thing about their experience, passed it. So each one spoke from their heart to the others in their little circle. And the second one was, what is the baby in the bathwater and how do we save the baby? Again, seven different perspectives talking to each other about their experience and what they saw this as. When they finished these two questions, they got up and they moved back into the big circle, and they said, okay, so what is your vision, asking us in the big circle? My hand was the first one up. I'm like, I said, my vision is what I just saw. What I saw, the youth talking, speaking, listening to each other. That's the vision, okay? And the question also was asked, how do we find the young people? The answer by some one person was, you find one person and you who is ripe. That was the word used. Somebody is ripe. And then you ask them, who do they know that's ripe? Here's your bonus, my bonus, the divine's bonus. Out of those seven women, one of those young women lives here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Mic drop, yes. Yeah, I even looked at her and said, you're in Santa Fe, I am in Santa Fe. We exchanged cards. We sent a text. I said, when are you coming back into Santa Fe? I will be connecting with this divine being. I want to start a group that is called Youth for Change. Youth for Change. I want us to listen to the youth. We, and I don't want to put us down, but we haven't done a really good job. I heard somebody say, you know, we're a developed country. I don't think we're acting like it. The deaths by guns, the gun violence, and all of that is just, and there's a crisis going on. We have mental health issues. I was also told, I went to this was great. So the other great one that I went to, because one thing wasn't happening at all, and I went to this one, and it was called Refuge. It was a documentary. And technology, they couldn't get the thing to play. But the guy was filling in and talking about this. And then he was able to play like the trailer to it. And then he spoke more, which actually the benefit was I got to hear the backstory on some of the things that probably wouldn't have gotten addressed. I might be showing refuge here, but you can also pay a couple dollars on any of the places that you can get this. Refuge is about a leader of in the KKK in Georgia whose little four-year-old also wore the hooded hoo-ha, right? Okay, I mean, and when I heard the backstory, I'm like, well, of course he would go into this way of being. When you found out his history, his childhood, things that happened, it started in 9/11, and he was really against the Muslims. And he also was, I believe, in the Army or some air service. And his best friend got shot and died. And then he didn't get the attention from his father. And it was just an ongoing. I was just like, heck yeah. If I was in the same situation, you know what? You have the right circumstances. We can be just as... They said hate is not a political issue. Hate is a health issue. We have a lot of issues in our world. Our world is dying. We're in dire trouble. You know, we can go outside here in Santa Fe and see and be grateful for all the things that are happening that are wonderful. However, we're connected. We are so very connected. It hurts my heart to realize that our youth have more anxiety because this world is a mess. Question is, what am I doing about it? Spirit has basically told me I cannot sit on the sidelines in any way, shape, or form. You know, when I hear about the water crisis, Maui, okay, I have been wearing aloha, praying for the folks in Maui. We have fires in Canada raging. We have a mass world that is dying. And the only thing that's going to save it is the individual actions that I take. And it starts with education and raising consciousness. Our mission statement here at Unity Santa Fe is raise consciousness. What is it that you don't know that you don't know? I never thought I'd be a vegan, but when I hear the stats on how much water it takes, and I'm not telling you what to do. I don't want to necessarily get feedback that, oh, vegan doesn't work for me. That's not the purpose. What is it that you can do? What is it that I can do? What is it that I can learn about and then take an action? Because you can raise your consciousness and learn and understand something, but is there something I can do? Because if we don't, our world is not going to make it. Our youth are going to not have grandchildren who can actually enjoy the world. It's hard, I'll be honest, to hear all of these sessions talk about all the problems, but there is also hope, you know? And the hope is in ourselves, not in somebody else doing something. I'm willing to stand up and speak things that maybe aren't comfortable for people to hear because it's what I have to do now. You would know the golden rule. I want to share with you, and it was funny because I read what I read in the Daily Word. You all know the golden rule, to treat people as you'd want to be treated. How many of you know the platinum rule? Okay, I've got a couple. The platinum rule, I think this one is important as well. It is more compassionate, inclusive than the golden rule. The golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. The platinum rule says, treat others the way they want to be treated. The platinum rule takes into account the other's feelings, ideas, thoughts, beliefs, and culture. It shifts the focus of the relationships from, this is what I want, so I'll give and do it to everyone else, to let me understand what they want, and then I will give them or do that for them. It's huge, this shift. The Platinum Rule requires us to be open to new ideas, experiences, perspectives, diverse ways of being in the world. It asks us to be genuinely interested in others and strive to make meaningful connections. It invites us to take action, not solely based on my desires and what I like, but to act in accordance with the desires of the other party, making a shift from the focus from our personal self to our broader self. This ideal can be applied in interpersonal relationships, group dynamics, and international relations alike. You know, some of my most touching moments that I remember were not in the sessions. I would get coffee from this one area, and Priscilla was the one who took my money. I asked people, what's your name? She had beautiful nails. Every day I'd see Priscilla. We'd chat a little bit. The last day, she wasn't going to be in the following day. We talked. She showed me pictures of her son. I asked her if I could give her a hug. Priscilla, this beautiful black woman, comes around the counter and we hug. Joffrey at the vending machine. It was those moments where you connect with another person. With, what's her name, Li Qing from Taiwan. We hugged. They're making clothing and blankets out of plastic, and they're taking them to disaster areas. Hugged her, said my sister from another mister. You know, sisters and brothers, everybody is my sister or my brother. I love in India, they say everybody's an auntie or an uncle. There's only one family. I'm going to close with sharing. I think I'll close, maybe not. An anthropologist in Africa was studying the customs of an Africa tribe, and he was surrounded by children most of the days. So as he was getting ready to leave the area, he went into the city and he purchased a whole lot of candy. And he decided he was going to put the candy, all of this yummy candy and fruits and such, into this big basket. And he gathered the kids together. He said, okay, we're going to play a game. He goes, see that basket over by that tree? Because he had set it up and he had ribbons on it and such. He goes, I'm going to have you all line up. And I'm going to say, ready, set, go. And then he goes, but who here is a fast runner? You are? You think you can win? Do you think you can win? Are you a fast runner? Yeah, I'm a fast runner. Okay, get lined up. When I say ready, set, go, you're going to race to the tree, and whoever gets there first gets to have the basket of candy and fruits. So they all line up, and he goes, ready, set, go. And to his astonishment, these kids all took each other's hands and went together to the tree where they sat down and shared the candy and everything there. And I just got the God bumps even sharing that with you. This is called the spirit of Ubuntu. Ubuntu. And he said to these kids, he's like, why did you do that? What, the first one who arrived could have had everything. And a little girl simply replied, how can one of us be happy if all the others are sad? How can we be happy when you know there's suffering in the world? Now, I don't want you to go down. This is a depressing. There's a lot that can take us down. So if you get taken down by any of this talk and the realization that there is suffering going on in the world and it's really heavy, heavy, you might cry, get educated and do something and make a paper airplane. Some of you know what we did a few weeks ago after I did a talk about the plastics in the world. And play is a spiritual practice. We had 66 paper airplanes flying through the air at Unity Santa Fe a few weeks ago. Because we can't go down. We have to have balance. So do the work and then take a time out. Get out there on the lake and do the tour and see the buildings and enjoy world. There has to be a balance. I'm not going to go through life enjoying. To enjoy, I need to balance because I have to do something in our world. There's another book, and this is called The Parliament of World Religions, Towards a Global Ethic. And by the way, this is the ninth Parliament of World Religions. It started in 1893. Then there was no convening until 1993, 100 years later, back in Chicago. Since then, they have had one in Australia, South Africa, Toronto. Again, it's in the book if you are interested. So when they came together in 1993 to reconvene, they talked about their declaration. And it took them years, 3 years, to come up with this declaration towards a global ethic, because they wanted to bring all the minds and spirits of all these beings together. They talk about the crises as we fill in. And their declaration, a part of it says, we are interdependent. Each of us depends on the well-being of the whole. So we have respect for the community of living beings, for people, for animals and plants, and the preservation of the earth, the air, the water, and the soil. We take individual responsibility for all we do. All of our decisions, actions, and failures to act have consequences. We must treat others as we wish. And it's funny because I just got done saying that. I don't want to say it. As we want them to treat us. I want to treat others the way they want to be treated. We consider humankind our family. We must not live for ourselves alone, but should also serve others, never forgetting the children, the aged, the poor, the suffering, the disabled, the refugees, and the lonely. We commit ourselves to a culture of nonviolence, respect, justice, and peace. Earth cannot be changed for the better unless the consciousness of individuals is changed first. We pledge to increase our awareness by disciplining our minds, by meditation, by prayer, by positive thinking. And without risk and a readiness to sacrifice, there can be no fundamental change in our situation. Therefore, we commit ourselves to this global ethic, to understanding one another, and to socially beneficial, peace-fostering, and nature-friendly ways of life. There's some books out there that we purchased for your individual purchasing. It's called How to Become an Almost Zero Waste World. You know, when they offered me a plastic fork with my meal, I said, no, thank you. I went over to the other restaurant where they had metal utensils. And I asked, I can't take plastic. I take my metal spoon now with me everywhere I go. There's little things we can do, and if we were all doing the little things, we would change the world. But it's an individual. What is it that you can do? We're one world, Ubuntu. I am only me because we are who we are. We are who we are because I am. we're one family. We can lean on each other. We can work with each other. We can listen to each other. Listening is important. Listening to that still small voice and to one another. Imagine a world that works for everyone. Imagine is taking, educating, and doing one thing every day that's different, getting outside of our box. We can change this world. And I charge each and every one of you with this. Right, Pam? She's up there. Yeah. So I thank you. I love you. You are my family. We are because I am. I am because we are. And so it is.